Good to be with you all here in O'Leary. Now, just before we open God's Word, we're going to pray. Our Father, we come now and we give Thee thanks that we can say that salvation is free. But we know it's free to us. It cost Thy Son His own life there upon the cross. It cost Him suffering under the wrath of God for our sin. But we thank Thee that He did suffer for our sin there upon the cross. He bore the penalty that must be dealt for our sin, and because of this, those who would simply come in repentance toward God and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be forgiven. We thank Thee for this. We do ask for help tonight. Most of all, Thy Son will be glorified as we open up His Word in His precious name. Amen. A couple readings tonight. First one found in the book of Ecclesiastes, please. If any of you don't know me, my name's Henry Favier. I'm from Bancroft, Ontario. I've been here on the island for a few months and in fellowship in Pope Road and headed back to Ontario here soon. It's a pleasure to be with you again. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse number 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." The book of Hebrews, please. Final two readings are found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 9 for our first reading. Hebrews chapter 9, we'll start at verse number 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them who look for him he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Chapter 10, we'll read a couple verses there from chapter number 10, starting there at verse number 11. "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Look down to verse number 26, please. Verse number 26, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." The Lord will bless the reading of His Word. I'd simply like to think tonight, we read in the book of Ecclesiastes and chapter 11, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thine youth. Walk in the sight of thine eyes and in the ways of thy heart. But know thou this, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." So I'd like to think about all these things, or we could say all this. I'd like to think about this life. This section that we see here before the pillar of death. All these things, all this. Then we read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." I'd like to think of what comes after death, after this. And then lastly, we read, Every priest standeth daily offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, I'd like to think about this man, offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand, the majesty on high. These things, or all this, after this, and finally this man. You know, when we are looking in Ecclesiastes, you know, the writer of Ecclesiastes, throughout his whole scripture, as he's writing, he's really telling us about this life, and life from man's perspective. But every once in a while, he will insert something from God. And we read, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." You know, the first part of this verse, it really sounds like what the world is telling us today. It really sounds like the message you will hear out there. You know, I was just in a hotel recently, and there was a big banner on the wall as you walked in, and it said, "You are now entering a world that revolves around you." And you know, that's the message of this world. Life revolves around me, my interest. And life is all about getting accomplished what makes me happy. And you know, when you read the first part of that verse, you really think, you know, I can live whatever way I want, and I'll get away with it. I can live for me. But at the end, we read, "But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment." I'd like to think about your life tonight. I'd like to think from the verse, a life lived for self. That's what's happening. This young man, he's rejoicing in his youth. He's living in the ways of his heart. "Follow your heart," you so often hear nowadays. Just a man living for the moment, living for today. No consideration of eternity. Friend, what is your life? It's a question we read in James chapter 4. What is your life? You know, friend, what's the meaning to your life? We live in a world today, and we're told that life really is an accident. It has no meaning. Friend, there is meaning to life. God created you for a purpose. God created man for the purpose that they might bring honor and glory to his name. I wonder, friend, are you doing that tonight? I would remind you the words we read in Romans. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, friend, in the book of Malachi, we read another question. Can a man rob God? Can a man rob God? Friend, are you robbing God tonight? What do I mean, are you robbing God tonight? Well, you see, friend, God has given you a life. God, who holds your breath in his hand, he's allowed you to have another day. He's allowed you to come to this gospel meeting that you might have an opportunity to be saved, to have your sins forgiven. What are you doing with the life that God has given you? God, who gives you breath, have you ever thanked him for it, friend? Have you ever thanked him that you were born in a country where you have food freely available to you? You might say, "I work hard for my things." There's many people in other countries who work very hard, but because of the conditions of the land that they are in, they really struggle to survive. God has been good to you, friend. I wonder, have you thanked him? It's one of the very first sins that mankind is charged with in the book of Romans. Unthankful. I wonder, friend, have you robbed God? What is your life? Where are you going? Where are you headed, friend, once you pass this pillar of death? What is your life? A life lived for self. A life lived in sin. we see in the verse. Friend, are you living a life in sin? Have your sins been forgiven? Friend, I wonder tonight, have you ever realized that you have sinned against a holy God? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3. We often quote the verse. I'm afraid we skim over it too fast. What does it mean? All have sinned. What does it mean to sin against God, friend? What does it mean to be a sinner before God? Friend, the God who created you, the God who has given you life, the God who holds your breath in his hand, the God you will meet one day. You and I have broken his law. We've sinned against him. We've all been found guilty. Friend, tonight, you can live a life of sin. It's all right to live in your sin, but remember, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Friend, a life of accountability. You will answer to God for the sins that you commit. And friend, God is holy and he can never allow sin to dwell in heaven. So friend, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If your sins are not forgiven, if you've never been saved, friend, you need to wake up tonight. You're on this broad way. If you were to breathe your last and pass into eternity, friend, in your sins, you'd be in hell. Sin brings judgment, friend. Do you realize that you have stored up against yourself the wrath of God for your sin? God must punish sin, friend. God loves you, but God is holy. And as a holy, righteous judge, he must deal the wages for our sin. He must punish sin. Friend, if you were to face God tonight in your sins, what would you say? Tells us of a life quickly passing. You know, there's two words there. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. That's really thinking of your childhood. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. It's a different word. It means your prime. It tells us of a life, you know, a child, and then it's someone in their prime, passing onward, quickly passing. Tell me, sinner, whither bound? I wonder, friend, has your childhood passed? Your prime is past. You're still in your sins. You thought you'd be saved last year. You're not saved. You thought you'd be saved in the last series of meetings. You're not saved. Your life is passing onward. And very soon, you're going to pass that pillar of death. A life quickly passing. A life that will be accounted for. Oh, friend, you need to be saved. There's judgment for sin. You must be saved. After this, you know, when we think of that verse we read in Hebrews 9 and 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. You know, friend, the first thing it tells me, death is sure. Friend, the only people who will make it out of this earth alive are the Christians. When Christ comes one day and takes the Christians home, they'll make it out of this life alive. No one else, though, friend. It is appointed unto man once to die. There is something you can't escape. There's an appointment you can't reschedule. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Not only does it tell us that death is sure, it tells us that judgment is sure, friend. It tells us that life does not end at death. Friend, you are an eternal soul. Your soul will never cease to exist. Your soul will live on forever. But where will your soul be 5 minutes after you die? If you die in your sins, the Lord Jesus said, where I go and you went to heaven, you cannot come. So friend, if you died in your sins tonight, where would you be? Judgment is sure. Eternity is soon. Eternity. Eternity. Where will you spend eternity? Oh friend, how foolish it would be to waste salvation's day, to waste the opportunity to be saved for the short time of pleasure that you have here. Life is so short, and eternity is so long. And where will your soul dwell in the eternal day? You know, there's a very solemn poem. It's called 5 Minutes After I Die. Faces will sigh, oh my silent face. Dear ones will clasp me in sad embrace. Shadows of darkness will fill the place. 5 minutes after I die. But the faces that sorrow, I'll fail to see. The voices that murmur will not reach me. But where, oh where, will my spirit be 5 minutes after I die? Now I can stifle conviction stirred. Now I can silence the voice oft heard. There'll be a fulfillment of God's word 5 minutes after I die. Mated for aye with my chosen throne, and eternity is so long. Oh, woe is me if my soul is wrong 5 minutes after I die. Friend, once you pass that pillar of death, your opportunity to be saved is over. Oh, friend, eternity is so long. Hell and the lake of fire are so real. We do not enjoy to speak of these things, friend. But if you die in your sins, it's where you're going. We have to be faithful to you. We have to tell you the truth. It brings no joy to my heart. I have an uncle who died in his sins just a year ago. I have a sister who's not saved. I don't enjoy to speak of the lake of fire, friend. But the reality of the scripture is, whosoever's name is not found written in the book of life will be cast in the lake of fire. For there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for all of eternity. No escape, no mercy, no light, no salvation. Oh, friend, while you are still upon this pathway, while you still have the breath that God has given you, friend, you need to get right with God. And that brings us to this man. What a beautiful passage we read in Hebrews chapter 10. Every priest standeth daily, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. What's it telling us of, friend? It's telling us first of the hopelessness of man's religion. It tells us, friend, of priests standing daily. In the Old Testament, there is these priests, and they would stand daily and they'd offer sacrifices for sin. What was the problem, friend? They always had to offer another sacrifice. They could never take away sin. Friend, religion can never take your sin away. Your own efforts can never take away your sin. Friend, you can go to a priest. You can confess your sin to a priest. He'll never take away your sin. Friend, do you want to be saved tonight? Do you want to know your sins forgiven? Do you want to know if you were to pass this pillar of death tonight, that you'd be saved, that you'd open up your eyes in heaven, never to see the flames of hell? Friend, we direct you to this man. Who's this man? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. He was the only man who walked this earth who had no sin. In him is no sin, we read. He did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. Peter would write of him. He was God manifest in the flesh. God came down and became a man. Lived on this earth for 33 years. He went to the cross and he bore the punishment for sin upon himself. Oh, friend, Christ has suffered for your sin. Remember, friend, God must punish sin. Sin must be judged. But, friend, on the cross, the Lord bore that judgment for sin. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brings us peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The hymn writer perfectly summed it up when he wrote, "All our sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them laid them on him. And believing, we are free." Friend, how can God forgive you of your sin? He wants to forgive you of your sin. How can God forgive you of your sin? And yet, how can God deal the punishment for sin? Because he must deal out punishment for sin. Friend, he did that 2,000 years ago. He poured the punishment for sin upon his son. Because Christ bore the punishment for my sin, friend, for your sin. If you were to simply come acknowledging your guilt, as a guilty, lost sinner before God, you would trust his son who died for you. Your sins would be forgiven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How can you know that your sins are forgiven? Friend, God's word. "He that hears my word," the Lord said in John chapter 5, "he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Friend, would you trust him tonight? You know, we read very solemnly, verse number 26, "If we sin willfully." What's it talking about here? It's not talking about the sin that we commit every day. All of us sin willfully in that way. But in the context of the book of Hebrews, the sin that it's talking about, the children of Israel back in the day, God made them a promise. But they chose not to listen to that promise. They chose to be unbelieving. And because of their unbelief, they couldn't enter into the land. So what he's really saying, if we refuse to believe God after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You see, friend, if you will not accept Christ, God's got no other way of salvation for you. If you leave this meeting, and we want to be very clear with you tonight, friend, there's no neutral ground. You will leave this meeting forgiven of your sins on the way to heaven, or you will leave this meeting a Christ rejecter. There's no middle ground. Friend, if Christ's death upon the cross is not enough to take you to heaven, God's got no other sacrifice for you, no other way of salvation. But friend, the joyful news is what Christ did was enough upon the cross. How do you know that? How do you know what Christ did on the cross is enough to take you to heaven? God raised him from the dead the third day. That's how God publicly testified to you and me that he has accepted the sacrifice of his son for sin. He rose him from the dead the third day. It was witnessed by above 500 people, the resurrected Christ. And friend, Christ has borne the punishment for sin. All the punishment that you and I have earned was poured upon him. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And if you would come as a guilty, lost sinner and trust him tonight, you have the promise of God. All your sins will be forgiven. But remember, friend, death is sure. Do not leave the meeting tonight without God's salvation, friend. We mean it when we say it. You know, friend, you could miss work. If you died tomorrow, it wouldn't matter. You might be a very busy person, you know, you might miss a family event. But if you died tomorrow missing a family event, it would matter nothing for eternity. But if you die tomorrow and you miss God's salvation, oh friend, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, but lose his own soul? Friend, we simply point you to this man tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sacrifice for sin. He gave his life that you might live if you would simply trust him tonight. This man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That's another thing that tells us that the work is finished. You don't sit down till you finish the work for the day. Christ finished the work on the cross, ascended up to heaven, and sat down on the right hand of God. And if you were to trust him now, your sins would be forgiven. Oh, trust him tonight, friend.